I have a request of each one of you. Whatever I say today, don't forget what you've already heard. Right? Have a thankful heart, which ties in very, very well with what I have on my mind. Lord bless us this morning. I want to speak to you concerning thanking God for His peace. You know, we're approaching what men have set aside as the Thanksgiving holiday. And I think I mentioned recently that it's my favorite holiday. If you're going to have a holiday, that's my favorite one of the year. And I'm not thanking God for the turkey and the dressing. I'm thanking God, the giver of all good things. Let's thank the giver. Not just remember the blessings and thank Him for all the blessings, but let's thank the giver. He's the one who so mercifully and graciously and lovingly provides those things we need. Thank God. Now I'm going to go to a familiar passage, but I want to try this morning to approach it from the idea of being thankful for God's peace. Isaiah 26. I'm going to begin by reading the first four verses. Like I said, some of this should be very familiar a passage, but we'll go back and I want to lay a foundation, then we'll go back and try to deal with the individual verses. All right, hope you found Isaiah 26 by now. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That would be good if I just stopped right there. The passage begins in that day. So that should beg the question, what day? Right? What day? Well, let me just talk about prophecy and some of those things for just a moment. The Bible is full of times where God instructed His people. And in time, they went into disobedience. Now, when we read the Old Testament and we find God's people going astray, it ought to be a warning to us. Not look down our nose and say, well, if I'd have been back there, I wouldn't have done that. God is faithful to give us what we need in His Word to remind us of what we are by nature and how we need to be careful to render that praise and thanksgiving to God for all His benefits that He daily gives us. So there were times when God instructed His people. Then there were times when they slipped into disobedience. Then God judged His people. And in that judgment, oftentimes, they would cry out to God for mercy and for help. And God would deliver His people. Over and over and over throughout the Word of God, that's what you find. And guess what? Those cycles didn't cease with the Old Testament. We're still like that today. Look at the book of Revelation and how it's just in cycles as you read through. And there's so much symbolic language there, but you know, people are, you know, even Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. People are pretty much the same as they've always been. Oh, we've got different toys. We've got different things that we do nowadays, but people are pretty much like they've always been. So when we find an expression that says in that day, it could be pointing to a specific time. And no doubt Israel experienced many deliverances, and without trying to spend the time to prove when this was, I want us to see that it represents how that God points his people to this better time, to this time of deliverance, that he is going to provide. Okay? So, whatever the enemy, whatever the error, whatever the location, whatever the time, it was the same God who came to their deliverance each time. And whatever deliverance we need today, as a nation, as a church, as a family, as an individual, whatever deliverance we need, it's our God, who is the one who is able to supply the need we have. And we continue to look to him. All right? Now, so this is a, in the Old Testament, we speak of God, we speak of the Lord. In the New Testament, after God has sent his Son into this world, Jesus taught us he's our Father. Our loving Father. All-powerful, all-knowing, all-present Father. And we can call upon him as our Father. Not just our God, but our Father, who loves us, who has provided for us, and who continues to provide for us. And so as we think about this passage, it's a message of hope. And the prophets have spoken toward this time. Even in the Old Testament, when the prophets would speak, or particularly in the book of Daniel, and that vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw, that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and it pointed to the Gentile kingdoms that would rule the known world from that time of the Babylonians until the time that Jesus would be born during the Roman Empire. That our God knows our need. And he is able to come to our aid and help us. And so when we think about the peace of God, you know, even at the birth of Christ, didn't the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Well, some might look at that without understanding and say, well, where's this peace? There's wars, rumors of wars. There's struggles all over the world. I'll tell you something. The peace we needed more than anything else was peace with God. That he has reconciled us. Man had fallen into sin. That he sent his Son to save us from our sins. And by his blood, we are reconciled to him. We have that peace that we need with him, and we can call upon him. And for Jesus' sake, we can ask for the help that we need. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know that word hallowed? That's the only time it's used in the New Testament. as referring to our Father. He deserves highest praise. He deserves highest adoration. He deserves highest respect. Hallowed is his name. So when we think about how the prophets had spoken and giving a message of hope. All right? And so there were many times when Old Testament Israel fell into the hands of others and God delivered them. You know, there were the time that I mentioned the Babylonians and that 70-year captivity that they experienced. And yet, there came a time when God delivered them. But even throughout that, God had told them already he would deliver them. He told them it would be 70 years of captivity. You know, without that, it might have been a hopeless situation. But bless your heart, God had told them he was going to deliver them. All right? So having laid that foundation, and not only like the Babylonian captivity, but you come to the end of the book of Genesis when we find that it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And that goes way back. But it gives a prophecy of the coming of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So as all those times when they were dispersed, or times when they were in captivity, or times when they had fallen from God, yet they had that promise from God that when Shiloh came, it says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And then during David's lifetime, God made a promise to David that of the fruit of his loins, that they would not lack one to sit upon the throne in Judah. And Peter makes reference to that in Acts chapter 2, doesn't he? Now let me turn to that real quick. Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, Peter says this, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him. Now, if God made an oath and swore to David, you can rest on that, can't you? All right? That of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Well, let me see now. Let me go back to that prophecy and notice something about, of course, David is saying here, he's seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. All right, so that promise that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne is speaking of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection for him to sit on his throne. Not that he's coming back someday and sit on a throne in Jerusalem and reign for 1,000 years. No, it happened at his resurrection. Elder Sonny Pyle made a point years ago that has just stuck with me all this time. He said, from Acts chapter 2 here, it didn't say that God was going to bring him back to sit on his throne, but he would raise him up to sit on his throne. And as far as I'm concerned, that just dispels the idea of a literal 1,000-year reign here on this earth before the end of time. All right? But let me go back to 2 Chronicles. Let me see, where's that? 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want to read that prophecy. This all ties in now with this piece. So hang in there with me. Second Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. And when thy days shall be fulfilled. God's speaking to David, by the way. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. See, this is that promise that Peter referred to. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name. Now, it's interesting, this was spoken during the time that Solomon was going to build the house of God. But God's giving this prophecy of a greater Solomon, the son of the Father, not just the son of David. Now, according to the flesh, he was, the son of David. But as we think about this promise, he says, he shall build an house for my name. Solomon built a glorious temple, didn't he? But it's nothing compared to this house. Because he says, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Forever. I like that, don't you? You know, where's Solomon's temple today? Well, where's that glorious temple that Solomon built in his day? It was destroyed. Just like everything on this earth is someday going to melt with fervent heat. But we have a prophecy here that the Son of God was going to set up his kingdom, and it shall reign, it shall last forever. And so, this kingdom that Christ set up, sometimes we refer to it as the church kingdom. The Apostle Paul speaks of how in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, then cometh the end when the kingdom shall have been delivered up to God. So we have the present aspect of the kingdom to be enjoyed now, that both John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus both said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But there's coming a time when we're going to be changed and fashioned and likened to his glorious body and taken home to be with him in perfection. But that kingdom he had established, when Jesus did that when he was here. He set up this kingdom, all right? So when we think about this kingdom is here, we go back and we think about all through the Word of God and even think about our own experience, and we find that those cycles of God's instruction, of disobedience, of God's judgment, of God's people crying unto him, and times of deliverance, we realize those cycles haven't ended. We still need the Lord. We'll still pass through those times where we'll need to cry unto God for his help and his deliverance. And the sooner the better, by the way. We need him every day. And if we ever leave off calling upon the Lord and being thankful for the blessings that he's given us and not serving him, then we're going to slip into those times where we're going to find ourselves under the judgment of God. But you know, these times, they're so interrelated. I mean, the Spirit of God is working in your heart individually. He's working in all of our hearts, all of his people, that is, individually. There are things that we can look back in our time. You know, when David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. When we look back over our life and we see times when God has particularly blessed and provided and helped, and you look at it and you think, well, gee, the Lord was working on that a long time. There was a lot of things that he did to bring something to pass for our benefit. But there were other people's lives involved as well. So it's mind-boggling to think how the Lord works his will in the hearts of his people when he can bless you in one way, bless another in another, and he provides exactly what we need. But he can do that. He's been doing it for a long time. And he hasn't stopped doing that. And so we can look to him for all that we stand in need of. All right? So, Look, come back to our text now in Isaiah 26. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. There were many times, and I'm not going to try to say an exact time here, but there were many times that God delivered his people. But bless your hearts, the time I want to talk about is the gospel day. In that day, when Jesus came, when Jesus set up his kingdom here in this time. Bless your hearts, when we think about it, he says, in that day shall this song be sung. Now, if there's a deliverance that's happened, then the appropriate thing is for us to sing a song of thanksgiving and praise, right? Well, bless your hearts, I can't think of any greater deliverance that we have today than that he has delivered us from the penalty of our sins. And we, all every day we live, we should be praising and singing song of praise and thanksgiving and deliverance that God has delivered us from that darkness and called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light, that he's blessed us to know what he has done for us, who he is, and what we have to look forward to by his grace. We ought to be thankful for that. And we need to express that with our life. I know there's some people that don't care much for singing. Well, I hope their heart is singing. Because every one of us ought to be praising God every day. Whether it's with your lips or whether it's in your heart, whatever the case, we have plenty of reason to be singing praises of deliverance to our God for all that he's done for us. So he says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Oh, there were places in the Old Testament where we're told and history records for us how they built strong cities and walls and those bulwarks. And they were either earth or something else that oftentimes was around those walls to give added protection. Well, bless your hearts. Like we said about Solomon's temple, men can destroy those things. But the salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ cannot be destroyed. It will stand forever. Salvation that we have, we can never be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, as we think about what we have in him, as Brother Kenneth was talking about this, thinking about all that we have in him, the blessings we have each day, but the salvation that we have, not only eternally, but every day. When we call upon him in our times of need, he's able to deliver us. And Peter told us on the day of Pentecost, he said, those brethren there on that occasion, he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. How are you going to do that? By calling upon the name of the Lord, by asking for his help, by asking for his strength, by asking for his spirit to lead us and guide us and to help us to make the right choices in life so that we can be delivered from the things that are around us. And I'm going to tell you something. I know you know this, but I'll remind you in case you've forgotten that there's plenty of things every day that we're confronted with that we need to be saved from. The devil is on the warpath. The world is not a friend of God. And this flesh takes every opportunity it can to satisfy itself instead of praising God. We have a strong city. Oh, we can flee for refuge to our God. You know, I guess it was the opening song that I selected. God has been my refuge daily. Brother Bridgman knew very well the eternal salvation that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he also recognized we need salvation daily. Not that we lose our eternal salvation and have to get it back. I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about that. But we need that deliverance. from this flesh, from the world, and from the temptations of the devil. We need that. Our mind needs to be in the right place. We need to be a living sacrifice. We need to be thanking God daily for all he does for us. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Can you thank God for predestination? Can you thank God for his purpose that before the foundation of the world, he purposed to send his son to this world to save us from our sins? I can thank God for that every day. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. That's an interesting expression. Open ye the gates. He's speaking of something in a future time. And yet the words here is open ye the gates. Brother, to me that's still speaking of the purpose of God and God's watch care and safekeeping of his people in providing for them. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Oh, as we think about the righteous nation, we know that we're not righteous of ourselves. So he's talking about God's people who've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. But listen, they're righteous. They're his people. They're redeemed by the blood of Christ. For Jesus' sake, we have the help we need when we need it. As we think about, he says, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation may enter in. Entering in. This kingdom that we talked about, that Christ set up for us today, to enter into it. That's a deep subject. I've preached on it many times. I'm sure Brother Thomas has. Entering into the kingdom. God chose a people. He sends his spirit into their hearts to quicken them. We believe in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration without the need for the gospel. It's not the preaching of the gospel that causes someone to be born of the Spirit. It's not the efforts of man that can enable himself to be born of the Spirit. God does that for us. But when he does and quickens us, then we have those spiritual faculties we need to see the kingdom, right? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So once we are born again, we can see the kingdom. We can taste that God is good. We can hear the words of God. We have a lodging place in our heart for the word of God because the Spirit of God is there to receive it. But when we're talking about entering into the kingdom, not all of God's people are doing that. They're not all pressing into this kingdom. That's why I believe that's why Jesus said, it's at hand. It's here. It's available to God's people. But at some point, you know, Jesus also said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. They don't always listen. And so, like those cycles in the Old Testament, when there would be times that God would instruct his people, but then they would slip into disobedience. And then they would be judged. And then they would cry unto God, and he would hear their cries, and he would bless them. Bless your hearts. To enter into this kingdom that Christ has set up for us. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, which is an expression that means if any man will be like me. He gave us some requirements, didn't he? Now, I'm thankful that eternal salvation is by grace. And we didn't do anything for it. We didn't deserve it. God gave it to us. It is secure. We cannot be separated from it. But entering into this kingdom requires some pressing. And when Jesus gave those requirements to following him, he says, if any man will come after me, let him do what? What's the first thing he said? Deny himself. All right? I'm going to get personal here for a second. You don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask the question. How much have you denied self this past week? If it's the first requirement in following him, and if a person can't think of any way that they've done that, then how far into the kingdom do you suppose they've pressed this week? I know you'd rather hear salvation by grace. But I'd also want to see a church that's giving fervent praise and honor and glory to God. And it's a process, brethren. It's a process of denying self and taking up our cross, Luke says daily, and following him. And I'm not saying you're not. I'm just pointing out the principle here, and we can all, in our own mind, examine ourselves and see where are we in the process. Because the next thing he says here is, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. I love that verse, don't you? But it also speaks of some responsibility on my part as a disciple, as the happy recipient of the grace of God, and as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things I need to do to stay close to the Lord. I know that we have everlasting peace in heaven by the blood of Jesus, by the grace of God. I can be thankful for that every day. I can rejoice in that every day. But I want some peace daily in my heart. And the farther away that we spend our mind and our heart's affection, the more we spend it on the things of this world, the less of it we're giving to the Lord. And so when the scripture says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, is that just a blanket benefit that all of the elect family of God are going to experience every day? Or is it for those whose mind is stayed on him and who is trusting in him? I thank God that he's blessed us to know the tremendous grace that we've been given. That he didn't say, if you'll receive me. He didn't say, here's a list of things you've got to do to be eternally saved. He gave his son. And it's effectual for all the elect family of God forever. I can be thankful for that, can't you? But I'm also thankful that he allows us to come to him. You might say, well, preacher, I'm weak. I can't do the things I want to do. Well, you know what? You're in good company. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7. The good I would, I do not. And that which I would not, that I do. Paul had the same struggles with his flesh that we do. But he had the same God that we do, that we can go to him and confess our sins and ask for his help and ask for his spirit. And for Jesus' sake, we can have that peace. We can purge that conscience and we can get up and go again and try our best today to serve him better than we did yesterday. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusted in thee. Can you trust in the Lord? Is he worthy of our trust? You know, there's been people in this life that I thought I could trust, and they've let me down. And I'm sure that there are people that have trusted me, and I've let them down somehow. So it goes both ways. All right? But not so with the Lord. He has never let us down. He has never come short. He has good reason, perfect wisdom, perfect knowledge, perfect love, perfect mercy. He has good reason for everything he does. We have the one we can go to that can keep us in perfect peace. Now, I'm talking about the kind of peace that disturbs us in the nighttime. Or the things that disturb our peace in the nighttime. Or maybe we carry it with us each day. Maybe there's a struggle that's going on in your life. Maybe there's a family member that has a struggle that they're going on, and it's sapping the life out of you. Whatever the case might be, our God is able to supply our every need. Jesus said, "My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth peace, give I unto thee." And he said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So whatever we're facing, he's able to supply what we need. You know, Jonah had a lesson to learn, didn't he? You remember Jonah? If there's a story in the Bible that most folks remember, it's Jonah. What happened to Jonah? He got swallowed by a whale. Right? But why? Because he tried to run away from God. Because he didn't do what God called him to do. Would you say he brought it on himself? You ever felt like you've been swallowed by a whale? You ever feel like you're about to be tossed overboard? Here's something that Jonah learned. In the belly of the whale, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If we're not enjoying peace, if we're troubled, my desire for this message this morning is that we can remember that we can have peace with God when we go to him. When we confess our sins, didn't Jonah get to the point where he says, salvation is of the Lord? And what happened? He came out of that whale's belly. Landed on the land. Bless your hearts, he found deliverance, didn't he? And we can too. The scriptures are a message of hope. That if we realize that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the scriptures teach us that the only reason we know that is because the Spirit of God has been given to us and we feel the conviction of our sins because of the presence of His Spirit. That means, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that evidence tells us we are one of His children. And if He has ever loved us in the past, He loves us now. There may be something He doesn't like about us as far as our behavior or whatever, but bless your hearts, His love is everlasting. And so, we can confess our sins, we can humble ourselves before God, we can come to Him and cry to Him for help. Whether we're talking about a nation, whether we're talking about a family, whether we're talking about a church, whether we're talking about you as an individual, that peace is available when we humble ourselves and come to God and cry to Him for His help. I'm not saying instantly all your circumstances are going to change, but what you can find is the peace in your heart that God knows, He hears, and He will do according to His will. Can we thank Him for the peace that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ? Can we thank Him for the peace that we have eternally by the blood of Jesus? But can we also thank Him for the peace that we can have each day as we walk and serve Him and do that which is pleasing and is enjoying the blessings of the kingdom that we have right now? I wish I could preach it like it is. Trust ye in the Lord forever. There's never going to be a time when you can't trust. Though I didn't say won't. I said you can't. There's never going to be a time when you can't trust God. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The translator said that could have been rock of help. The rock of ages. Everlasting help. The rock of ages. He is our rock, isn't He? He is our help. He is our strength. He's our everything. May God help us to humble ourselves, seek His face, His loving counsel, and ask for the leadership of His Spirit. You know, when we come to the Lord in that way, you know, we want to lay things out. We want to plan things. We want to know what's going to happen this here and there. That's not walking by faith. You can make plans. There's nothing wrong with that. But we also walk by faith. Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, we heard, first of all, this morning, one of the first things that He would have us to do is to thank Him for all that we have. And that's something we need to keep doing for the rest of our life. But we also need to trust Him. Part of what we need to thank Him for is the peace that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank Him for the peace that we can have each day as we humble ourselves before Him and ask for the leadership of His Spirit. You know, the battle in this world may be raging without, but we can have peace within because of His mercy and His blessings. And I guess I need to balance the thought, but there's so many of God's people that have had to suffer tremendously in this world. And there's things that we don't have the answers for. We just don't. But we can still trust Him that He knows what He's doing, and we can still thank Him that this life, the trials of this life someday will be over. Paul said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so that's why Paul told the Colossian brethren, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. May God help us to be thankful for the peace that we have from God. Eternal peace and the peace that we need each day to live while we wait for Him to come again. You know, that's going to be someday, isn't it? When He comes back, all the problems, all the heartaches, all the tears, all the trials of this life will be over. And we'll be blessed to be with Him in peace forever. Let's thank God for that. Thank the giver of the gifts. And thank Him for all the gifts that are ours. May God bless you, as our prayer.